Good morning and Christian greetings to each of you. And to Brother Larry and Sister Rachel, know you're not losing your mind and putting the wrong names in the bulletin. Darvin and I had a little discussion about our preaching assignments and schedules and decided to change. And so what was in the bulletin was the way it was supposed to be, but we did not communicate that with them. So it's good to look into your faces and see the house so well filled this morning. I committed myself to preaching this Sunday, and as I pondered this past week, I probably struggled more than I ever did, for a long time at least, in knowing what to share. I thought of numerous subjects, and earlier in the week I thought I was going to preach on a certain subject, and as the week went on I changed my mind, and last evening I changed my mind again. My mind was still back on a little bit of the discussion that took place here last Sunday with the devotions and some of the comments that Brother Jerry made. I don't know how many of you remember that, but last Sunday's devotions was on fear and the fact that we struggle with fear. And my mind kept coming back to that this week, because I believe that it is something that is real to all of us. I know that there are people who struggle with fear in a real way. It's something that I probably myself, I won't say that I'm totally free of struggling with fear, but I probably don't struggle with it as much as I realize that some do. And so I decided last evening that I'd like to just share and expound a little further on this. How do we deal with this emotion of fear? Fear is an emotion, and we know that emotions are wonderful things. God created us with emotions. Have you ever thought what it would be like to live life without emotions? If we were to live life just on a plateau, as it were, and not have emotions and never feel happy about anything or never feel sad about anything. In fact, I thought about that as we were singing, and Brother Jimmy talked about the fact that we sang songs that express different patterns of thoughts this morning. And I don't know who picked the last song, it doesn't matter, but I thought about it in the last song that we sang, and it's good for us to do that at times, to think about life beyond life here, the here and now, in other words, and realize that someday this mortal life here will be gone, it will be over. Brother Neil talked about the Weaver man, Enos Weaver, I believe was his name, there in New York, that passed away this week. Suddenly, unexpected, young man with a family, healthy farmer. And yes, Scott said, time is over. That will be our time. And some of those kind of things, I don't know what all you're thinking in an audience this size this morning. I know that there's different things that we face in life, and emotions take us different places. And I believe this morning that the possibility of the fear of the future, fear of things, is something that is real. And so I'd like to take us to God's Word this morning. The message title is The Christian Dealing with Fear. In fact, my mind kept coming back to this, and then I thought, no, Lamar, you don't want to talk about that, because that's something you did preach on quite a bit already. And you know, I went back and I looked through my sermon notes, and it doesn't come out at the top, but this thought of fear and the messages that I was assigned over the course of years, there were a lot of messages relating to fear. And so again, it tells me that it's something that we as people face and people are interested in hearing. For a few scriptures to look at, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Jesus himself brings out two sides of this, I guess I'll call them, two aspects of it. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 25, Jesus is talking about the signs of the end of time, the end of this age, the headline of my Bible says. And it says in there, in verse 25, Luke 21, verse 25, Jesus speaking, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Jesus is describing natural things that are going to happen as signs that we are moving into the end of age, the end of time. Now, I don't think this morning we can argue that these things are happening. There are signs, there are weather patterns, there are storms, there are these kind of things, the sea and the waves rolling, tsunamis and different things just happening time and again. And then in verse 26, he says this, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken," Jesus says. I think that we are living in this day when men's hearts are failing them. As you watch the national scenes, the things that are happening across the world, nations, the powers that are to be, I believe that there are reasons why men's hearts are failing them. And if we pay too much attention to these kind of things, our hearts can begin to fail us as well. We can have fear in our hearts. When we look around us and see the things that are happening in our nation, and I'm not going to, I'll let you think about those things. I'm not going to plant extra fear in young people's hearts. But there's many things that are happening around us that if we let it, and it will create fear within our hearts. And some of that's good. I want to come back to that then. I want to come back and talk a little bit about this emotion of fear and some of the things that are good about it. Verse 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." When these things are beginning to happen, it's a sign that this Jesus that left, and as you have seen him go, he will come back again. The book of Acts, Paul tells us in Acts. And he says that he's going to come with power and great glory. And that's just a wonderful thought to me as I think about Jesus and the return of Jesus and the fact that our hearts can fear us, can fail us, and we can be caught up in fear as Jesus comes back with power and great glory. Who's he coming back for? He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for the faithful. He's coming back for you and I. And we don't have to fear the things that are happening. In fact, in the next verse, he tells us that when we see these things beginning to come to pass, we're to look up. We're to look for him. We're to look at this Jesus who has great glory and has power and who is coming to take the redeemed home to himself. So Jesus is telling us that fear is going to be real. It's something we're going to experience. It's going to come. It's going to be a part of earth life. But let's go back a few pages in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And I want you to notice another thought that Jesus left with us. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, he says, "Fear not." Here he's speaking to the church. He's talking about anxiety again, or about fear is what he's talking about. And he says in verse 32 of Luke 12, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This Jesus, who has great power, who has glory, who wants the best for every one of us, is telling us, you're going to live in a world that's full of fear. And you're going to be tempted with fear, and it's going to be a part of your experience. But on the other hand, he says, Fear not, little flock. Don't fear, because I have your good in mind. I'm here for you. Verse 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he was talking about our physical needs there prior to that. So this thought of fear this morning, the word fear has the idea of maybe something we dread, apprehension, impending danger. We look ahead and we see something that to us looks just a big thing in our life, and it troubles us, and it makes us anxious, and it brings fear into our hearts. You see, the Christian dealing with fear, this title gives the suggestion that we will have fear, and we must deal with it. Where does fear come from? I would like to suggest this morning that fear is a result of this fallen world. Before Adam and Eve sinned, before they made the choice to take of that fruit, did Adam and Eve have fear? We don't read that they did. They didn't fear. They were glad to see God. They were glad when the presence of God came into the garden. But you know, it was after they made that wrong choice that fear became a part of their experience. And so fear is a result of our fallen nature. It's a result of a broken relationship is what it is. And praise God this morning that you and I don't have broken relationships, right? We had taken care of the sin question. We have a relationship with God again. And so we have every reason not to fear, because God does promise to be on our side. But it is true, getting back to this thought of emotions, that God has created us in the way he did, and we have emotions, and they're wonderful things. It's like someone said, you probably heard me say it before, that emotions can be our best friends, and they can be our worst enemies. They just work that way. Emotions can be terrible things. Fear is a healthy emotion when it keeps us from getting into a dangerous situation. Fear is something, well, probably all of us have different fears, things that we are scared of. I don't know that I'm fearful of it. Yes, I am, depending how high I go, but I'm not fond of heights. I feel better when I have my feet on something solid and I'm on the ground. I'm not one to get up in the air and climb around a lot like some people do. And that's probably good, because once you fear something, you're not really safe in it either. And so fear keeps us from going over the edge at times, is what it does. It's true in the physical. It's true in spiritual life as well. You see, it's fear that causes us to drive safely upon the highway, might be an example. We fear certain things, and so we drive cautiously. And still, sometimes things take place. You see, the emotion of fear can be a protection to us. It devised to save us from emotional harm or physical harm. The Bible also tells us that fear is a good thing when we use it in spiritual senses. Fear is beneficial when we start fearing God and the sovereignty of God and realize who God is. King Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. It's the beginning of having an understanding about things. The fear of the Lord is good for, yes, for physical health. It's good for spiritual health. The fear of the Lord, I believe, prolongs life many times. It's good. But then there are those fears that destroy. They are fears that affect our emotions, and they become our worst enemies. And so what is the answer to this? I believe that they are fears. These kind of fears is something we must deal with. You know, fear is an emotion, and emotions are something that we need to bring in to check, into balance. Maybe a good example of this would be the emotion of anger. When we're tempted to become angry, we say, well, get control yourself, get a grip on it. We need to control that emotion. And that is true with all of our emotions. You know, we can be on an emotional coaster all the time, and sometimes you see people like this. They're either in the dumps and everything's bad and they're done out and they're crying, or they're on a high and they're happy and they're giddy. And you see that both of those need to be brought into balance. It's okay to cry sometimes, but we need to bring it into balance. It's okay to enjoy life and be happy at times, but there needs to be that balance. The same is true for the emotion of fear needs to be brought into check. And so how do we do this? God promises that, well, we could go back to Timothy. Timothy talks about having the thought of no fear, the thought of love not having fear. There is no fear in love. But God gives us the rest of that verse. I'm trying to get it. I get turned there. But God gives us the power of a sound mind and reasoning. And that's the thought I want, that we bring it into subjection. The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, we might say. It's the work of the Holy Spirit is what it is, giving us wisdom and helping us to deal with our emotions. And yet, we know all that. Yet, fear is a real thing. It's a real experience. It's a human experience. Let's just for a few moments think a little bit about some common fears that people have. In an audience this size, I believe there are people who are here who have the fear of the unknown. Fear of not knowing what is going to be tomorrow or the next day or next week or next year or the future. Fear of the unknown has done its work in the lives and hearts of a lot of people. There's this fear of failure. Some people are so prone to make a mistake and are so prone to fear making a mistake, I want to say. Are so prone to that failure is just a bad experience, a bad thing, and we can't go there. We can't let anybody know that we failed in this, and it creates a fear. There are people who fear being rejected. They do everything they can to be accepted of everybody, and one day they're here because they want this person to accept, and the next day they're over here because they want the acceptance here. And so we find people who are on the roller coaster emotionally because they're trying to suit everybody in life. The fact is, we can't do that. The sooner we understand that we're not going to make everybody happy around us, that doesn't mean we don't try, don't misunderstand me, but somehow we need to bring it into balance and realize that not everybody everywhere is always going to think the best of us. It just won't be. And so we balance out this fear of rejection. Some people fear making commitments because they're afraid they can't keep them. They can't perform in them. And so they don't make commitments and they pull back. Some people simply fear people, other people. Fear of places. Fear of activities. Some people know they're not good in certain activities, and so they fear them, and they'd sooner stay home and not get involved than be there and admit that there's a fear in their heart. why do I bring this into place? I believe that all of these fears, and the list could go on, you get out whatever, but all of these fears, I believe in one way or another, will neutralize our effectiveness for God. When we allow these fears to take control, we allow and we move and we make decisions on these kind of fears, there's something that we could be doing that we probably are going to pull back from and we won't do because we fear. And it makes us ineffective in some area or another. Fear is something that, well, it takes time. And what I mean by that, how much time have you spent worrying about a particular thing that you thought or were afraid that was going to happen or that could happen or that probably will happen, yet yourself convinced it will? And you thought about that and you worried about that and you made some other decisions to try to navigate around it so that it for sure doesn't happen. And you know what? You never came close to having it happen. And yet you had spent all that time worrying and thinking and wondering about it. Right with that, how much energy is spent has been drained from you, been drained from me by fearing. Fear drains a person. It takes a strength out of you. It makes you tired. It just wears you out. Energy is drained. The question is, has it changed anything? Many times not. It hasn't changed a thing. God all the while had it all in control while you worried and you had all these anxious moments and you spend all your time and your energy. Well, I like to look at about six things that I believe are results of fear. Fear is a result of things that are out of our control. Probably none of us like when things are out of control. We just all like when things are out of, or in control. I remember a brother years ago saying, and this was after he had traveled quite a bit. He flew many, many times. And at one point in his life, all of a sudden, he had a real fear of flying anymore. He just didn't want to get in an airplane because he had a fear of it. And I wondered about that, and I thought about that, and I came to the conclusion that I believe that the reason he all of a sudden had this fear was it was one area in his life where it was out of his control. When you go sit in the airplane, you sit in the seat, you have no control of anything anymore. That pilot is going to navigate that airplane. He's going to take off. He's going to fly it the way he wants to. He's going to land it the way he wants to. And you sit there and you don't have a steering wheel. You have no levers. You have no nothing. You're not in control. And the brother that comes to my mind was a man who I think was used to having things pretty much in control most of the time. And it was just one time when he was out of control, and I think he realized that. It sank into him that he's not in control. You know, things that we don't have control over are many times the very things that give us some real fear. They're big fear factors. What we need to realize is that Jesus is there, and he has it in control, and he's the antidote for this fear. Just turn it over to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just take my yoke upon you. Just lay it down. We pray about it. Can we lay it down? So many times we pray about it, but then we pick it right back up and take it right with it. It's human nature to do that. It's never out of God's control. I believe that these experiences are actually good for us. you might not agree with me in that, but you know what? I think it's good for all of us not to be in control sometimes for a while, and to get to the place where we realize that, you know what? It's out of control, and I can't do anything about it, because it brings us to the place where we humble ourselves and plea and cry out to God in a way that outside of that kind of experience we probably won't. It brings a dependence. God's strength comes through our weakness many times, and so I believe it's good for us to come there. Secondly, fear and worry have a way of clouding our minds. You ever thought about it when you get wrapped up in fear and you get wrapped up in the anxiousness of life, that it clouds your mind, that you can't even think rationally about things anymore? I notice this sometimes. There's an older person that I talk to on the phone sometimes who tends to be worried about life and health problems and so on. And you know, as I listen, I can just tell that it's to the point where it clouds their mind, and they can't even put things together and rationalize things in a right way anymore. You see, the more we think about a negative situation, the more we allow fear to control us, the more we think about what could go wrong, the more that grows in our minds, and the bigger it gets. It mushrooms. And after a while, this little problem that we were facing that put fear in our heart is actually a really big problem to us. And it's just a huge thing, and it's about all you can think about, and it's about all these you can talk about anymore. We need to find that balance when that thing is small before we let it get big, so that it doesn't get big. One of the ways to do that, I believe, is to get our mind off ourselves, off our own struggles, off our own problems, off of what we think, whatever is creating the fear, and think about other people. If that's impossible, open up and share with somebody and tell somebody else. It's another thing I see with people who have fear is many times these kind of people will clamp up and won't share. They won't talk, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. They keep it to themselves, and they crawl into their own shell, as it were. Friends, if there's fears in your heart, open up and share and tell others about them. You don't have to tell everybody about them, but surely there's somewhere that you have confidence in that you can say, you know, I'm really struggling with this fear. I fear this, whatever it is. And talk to them about it, and maybe they can help you. At least get them to pray for you so that you know there's someone else praying about it. And keep it from clouding your mind. Thirdly, fear is an act of our will where we choose not to trust God. This is an important point to make, I think. Because when we start fearing, we are telling God, you're not big enough. You're not big enough. You can't handle this for me. Isn't that what we're doing? You see, when we turn it over to God, and when we can truly trust God, and when we can put faith that God has it in control, it evaporates our fears. It takes it away. And so fear is an act of our will where we actually, I believe as Christians, we choose not to trust God when we allow fear to set in. No, we would say, we're never going to do that. We're not going to choose not to trust God. But in reality, that's what we do. And so think about that. And when you think about things that are fearful to you, turn them over to God and trust God. Probably one of the things that has taught me to do that more than anything was being a parent and having teenagers and children who were old enough to start making their own decisions and moving on in life and weren't under your roof all the time anymore and were gone, and you didn't have any control over what was happening, and you just finally learned that you trust God. I'm still doing that. As I'm speaking, I have a son that's in the air somewhere between here and Cambodia. I don't know when he's going to land there. I don't know what's, but I talked to God about it. God's taking care of him. I'll let that there. It's just a personal example I'm giving to you. Number four, fear causes us to withdraw and hide. I touched on this a little bit. It is a type of self-preservation is what it is. So fear gets a hold of us and we choose not to talk about it. We choose not to share it. We don't want to admit that we have fear. We try to preserve ourselves. We try to hide behind it. We put up a good front. In fact, people that have fears oftentimes become quite bold in their outward expressions and so on to try to hide the fact that they're really fearful. It's just the way we are. Here again, I believe the answer is take the eyes off yourself. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and admit that there's a fear there and talk to others about it and share it with them. You see, instead of withdrawing and hiding and trying to preserve ourselves, which finally is going to be to our own detriment, is what it is. We don't find answers there. We don't find help there. We don't find, there again, that builds on each other and snowballs, and after a while it's just a big thing and we can hardly face whatever. Each other, we stay hit because we fear. And so don't allow this fear to do that to you. Number five, fear causes us to run. When we should pray and face fear head on. Have you ever been scared? I'm talking about a physical thing in life now, where you just had so much of a fear about something, and the first thing that goes through your mind is to run from it. You know what happens when you do that? You turn around and you start running, you turn your back to it, and you get more scared than you were, and you can't run fast enough. In fact, you end up running a lot faster than you ever thought you could, and it's still not fast enough. Because that fear just eats at you. The best thing to do is turn around and face that fear head on. And all of a sudden you realize that what you thought was fear is not fear many times. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes there's danger. But you get the point. So many times we want to run from our fears when the best thing to do is look it in the eyes, face it head on, and sometimes in a blink of an eye, what we thought was fear is no longer fear. It's gone. It's not there. That's back to our brother's devotions this morning. We had courage. God took control of it. God took that fear and he took it away. Instead of running, pray about it. Face it head on. God's on your side. He cares about you. Remember, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." That's what he meant. Face it head on and don't fear it. I'm here. I'm with you. I'll keep you from the burning fire, from the lion's mouth, whatever it is. He did it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to Daniel, and many others. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for us. Number six, the moods of fear and worry also create physical responses. And what I mean by this, when we allow fear and worry and anxiety to get us down, work on our emotions, it finally makes physical problems. We get tensions. We get headaches. We get high blood pressure. These things are real. They're results of it. Let me tell you this. This fear is not a disease. It's human experience. Mark it down. Because you see, you can get yourself to the place where you decide that you're sick. I'm sick and there's something wrong with me. I have a disease. I need to go see the doctor. Maybe there are times when that happens. Don't misunderstand me. But in our mind, we get there so fast sometimes. And I just want to tell you this morning that this fear is not a disease. It is human experience. Get control of it here. God has given us a sound mind. He wants to give us a sound mind. Get the proper help for these situations. I'm not saying that there's never a time to go see a doctor. That's not what you heard me say. I didn't say that. But don't think it's time to go see the doctor before it's time to go see the doctor. 7. The Bible tells us that there is a relationship between fear and love. God loves us. God wants our best. God says there is no fear in love. How does it connect? When we have a right relationship with God, then we trust God. We have faith that God will help us. And yes, even though in this world we will face those fears that Jesus told us, the end times will bring fears. God is on our side. God won't let you down. What is the remedy of fear? Just a few things, or one thing that I want to say especially. Dealing with fear takes humility. Humble yourselves and deal with fear. And that oftentimes means talking to someone. I think it's what James talked about when he said, confess that fear is your experience. Or James says that we are to confess our faults one to another. Is fear a fault? I believe it is, many times. And James says, confess your faults one to another. I don't think James just meant sin. James meant these things that bug us and that make us want to respond in wrong ways. Confess them to each other. Talk about it. Bring them out in the open. Fear is real to people, to all of us. If you know someone that you are aware of that has fear, is living in fear, is prone to be fearful, dear friend, get up beside them. They need friends. They need someone to talk to. This also takes humility. It does. You see, I think back in my life and I think of situations where I believe there was fear involved and where relationships were like they were. And I probably should have stepped up beside it, but when you see someone else struggling and you see someone else with fear, it kind of creates fear in our own hearts, because you never know what you're going to get yourself into when you step up beside a person and start working with them. Because many times the fears that other people are struggling with are not our fears, and their fears bring fear into us. It works that way so often. We're scared of the fears that others may be going through, even though they may seem kind of silly to us that they go through them. But you see, it's easier just to turn away, turn around, and walk away. And that's not what people need. People who are facing fear need someone to step up beside them. They need that love. They need that love from us that God puts into our hearts. They need that to be shared with them. So this morning, if you're here and you have fear, God knows all about it. God has the answers. God knows the future. God knows his plans for you. We just don't know that. God hides so many things from us, but God does have it in control. Let's kneel for prayer.